Hello there. Are you ready to hear tales of the paranormal? Weird, unexplained, and just plain creepy? If the answer is yes, then welcome to your worst nightmare. But be warned, there's no turning back. Now here are Todd, Sean, and Nate, and they are middle-aged and creeped out.
Hello there, creepies, and welcome to episode 144. Nate is your tech engineer, and we are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged and creeped out. What is going on, guys?
All good things tonight. Having a fantastic night.
It is.
It is. It's great.
It's been a great week. Great night.
Yeah, it's been a week.
Great.
Great babe. Not bad. Just
great babe.
Nothing bad, nothing great, but good. Yeah, well, I'm glad you guys are having a great week, and I know you probably don't want to go into it yet, so I won't bring that up. No, it is a good week. It's Wednesday, and that means a little closer to Friday.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, big day tomorrow. So as we're recording, this is the, 6th of December. My son turns 13.
Whoa!
Tomorrow, so
big
day.
Teenager.
The teenager. So now, I gurgled. We'll have two teenagers in the house now, so...
God
pray,
help you.
Pray for me.
That's right.
We'll accept all the prayers that we can get. So, yeah, he turns 13, and he's going to have six or seven buddies over Friday. Mm-hmm. Good Lord, help us again. Pray for it. Yeah. Whew. So, anyway, that's about it. So, well, talk to you later, guys, everybody.
Okay, bye.
No, but I don't like the weather. I don't like the weather.
No?
It's cold.
Gets cold at night. We're supposed to have a heat wave in the 50s the next couple of days.
I know. Right? Somebody goes, well, it's December. I go, early December. I said, no, January is
how
when it starts
north
getting
we are?
Cold. Starts getting cold. I'm not accepting December. No, but right. It's only the 6th, so I don't like this. Ooh,
is our next topic aches and pains because this is weather?
Well, my back's been slightly hurting. That's always the thing. I could talk about my aches and pains pretty much every day. Yeah. No, but you guys are having a good week?
Mm-hmm.
Good. I hope the creepies are having a good week.
That's right.
Yeah. And they're listening to us, so how much better can it get, right?
How could it get any worse? It can get worse. Trust me.
Yeah. We just had a guest chat. We'll have Mr. Sean talk about that here in a little bit.
Heck yeah.
Moving on. But before that is the Todd's dad joke of the show. And I know everybody's excited. Nate, mm-hmm. Calm down. I see you over there. Mm-hmm. I'm glad you're sitting down.
Vibrating.
Wow.
With excitement.
Vibrating with excitement.
I still think it needs its own music.
I do too. I'm trying to come up with something like that. Yeah.
Better than just my yacha-cha-cha-cha-cha.
Todd's dad joke of the show. Something like that. Yeah.
It needs a jingle.
Needs a jingle. And a jazzy jingle. What is a ghost's favorite store? A boutique.
Yeah, I refrained.
You knew it, didn't you?
I had to say before Nate did. I was like, I'm giving him. I know he probably knows it. He's just hanging.
I'm refraining.
You pulled that out of the depths, huh?
A boutique. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Boutique.
Yeah, how about that? How about that one? That was quick and boom, right? I mean, just a punch in the gut.
Do you know what they sell at the boutique for the ghost?
They want. Oh,
no.
Do you know what they sell at the boutique for the ghosts?
What do they sell at the boutique?
Sheets.
I thought this was going to take a turn for the worse, but not too bad.
That wasn't too sheety.
Piece of sheet.
Oh, they're on sale.
We are at the boutique. Anything you got, Sean, on that?
I got nothing.
Okay,
I got nothing. Only inappropriateness.
Okay, we'll save that for later. That was the dad joke of the show, and now I'm going to turn it over to you, Sean.
Well, I have the first part of the announcements, and we say this every time, but this is guy time, paranormal, creepy, fun time. We love coming here and doing this for you guys. There is the entertainment value, of course, but we are more importantly going to always build a mental health community, so that is what we do here every single time. Call or text 988 for any type of mental distress, suicide prevention, or any other type of crisis that you may be experiencing. You can also text HOME to 741-741 for professional help. If you or someone you know is experiencing bullying, contact stopbullying.gov for help. Reach out to our Facebook group, Instagram account, email, or message us for added support. That is what our Mako family is all about.
And I'm here to give a testimony about the bullying. I had to reach out to the anti-bullying dot, or whatever what you said.
Were you the bully? Yeah. Or?
No, I was bullied by my wife and daughter the other day. Yeah. Boy, they just... Relentless, picking on me, picking on the old man.
Why is everybody always picking on me?
No respect. I even put on Facebook. Right. Somebody said,
Dangerfield.
Are you like Roddy Gay? I said, exactly, yes. Oh, just, I don't know, just had a blast at my expense.
Yeah.
So I contacted bullying.gov, and they said, they bullied me. They said, what was the problem? I told them, and they made fun of me too. No, but yes, we want you to get your help. If you need it, call. Don't be afraid to go to counseling. You know, if you need some medication to take the edge off, do what you need to do, you know?
Does this have anything?
Especially around this time of the year, please.
Didn't your son almost clean your clock in a one-on-one basketball game?
No.
No, okay. Just check.
But no, he didn't. He came close.
He came close, but the old man still got it. Isn't that what he said?
That's right. That's right. Especially around this time, people get depressed. And I saw a good post the other day. I'm not sure who said it. But they said it is okay to be depressed, but it is not okay to stay depressed.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that. It's mm-hmm. if you get, I mean, I get
everybody's going to have a bout of it,
but don't stay in it.
Yeah.
And you can say, well, that's easy for you to say. It is easy because I battle depression.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You have to do something to get out of it. You can't stay in it. That's when you got to go to counseling or a doctor.
Get the help and get your mind right, because you'll feel a whole lot better mm-hmm. when you're out of that space.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
Yeah, that's right.
It's true. I like that, though. Yeah, it's okay mm-hmm. to be depressed, but don't stay in it.
Yeah.
And even if, like this morning, I literally said the words, I'm like, it's okay. I got to get up. It's everything I can do to get out of mm-hmm. bed. It wasn't because I was depressed, but I was just like, gosh, I just,
it takes effort. I know.
So so battling depression, getting out of that mindset is hard. It's mm-hmm. really hard. We get it. You got to do something. You got to latch on to something or somebody to give you that little push.
I have a new morning routine.
What's that?
Here lately. When the alarm goes off, I go, no.
Oh. I don't want to. You can't make me, right?
But somehow it just gets you out of bed.
Yeah. Just say no.
Yeah.
And I'm like, all right. Get out of bed.
I get out of bed and I always slip on my tears and I cry because right? I'm now awake and out of bed in the morning. Yeah. No, but yeah, man, just don't. Yeah, and like we always say, it sounds simple, but just hang in there. Don't
mm-hmm. live on that emotional island. Yeah, right?
Because as quickly as you feel like if everything's going great, then oh my gosh, something happened that, you know, makes you depressed or anxious, or you go through financial difficulty, a relationship breaks, whatever. You're that quick to getting back on track. Something good can happen, you know. So just don't give up and reach out to loved ones. And I know a lot of people are like, well, I'm not close to my family, or I don't have a bunch of friends, but I got one or two. Okay, one
you
or
got
two.
Got us
one. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you right. got hey, yeah. you got the Mako boys.
That's right,
and the Mako family.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, yeah, but it is rough. It can be rough. And I remember when my dad, this is your first Christmas, right? It was mm-hmm. your first Thanksgiving and first Christmas. Mm-hmm. So,
that's right.
You're experiencing what I did, you know, mm-hmm. years ago. And it took me a couple to, okay, it is what it is.
Yep. Thanksgiving, it was nice. And even Jenna pointed out on the car ride home, she said, you know, you guys did a good job of talking about really funny and nice stories about your dad and all the positives.
Good.
And I was like, yeah, we did do that. We didn't do it intentionally. We just kind of like, you know, mm-hmm. I don't know who the first person was to bring it up, but we just told some funny stories and all this stuff. And yeah.
And that's how God does it. Isn't that great that he gives us memories? And, you know, obviously you can have bad memories, but like
right.
something like that keeps him alive and keeps, and, you know, I talk, my kids never met my dad. So I tell these stories and they can, without seeing them and hearing it, but they can learn about him, you know, and so
sort of have an essence of him.
Yeah, they get
There's
an idea
a song,
of what he was about.
And
what.
Song called "The Good Old Days," and it's a newer song, at least it is to me. And I was talking to William in the car about it. He and I listened to it, and I was like, "That's a really good song." And I said, "You know, the good old days I said, if I sit here and think the good old days, that's when I was a kid, right? You know.
Oh, yeah.
But if I stop thinking, like, there's some bad times during that time. So it wasn't necessarily great or good. But it's funny that over time, the negative washes out, you know. Sure. And what we are left with, a lot of times crystallized in our memories, is the good. Mm-hmm. And so that's what the good old days just stay that way, kind of crystallized in our heads. But now we're, like, going through all this bad stuff. But just in the present moment, a lot of times we just saturate it with such negativity that it's hard to look at it as the good days.
True.
Right now. But someday we will look back and say, oh, man, those were the good days. But it's just, it's so weird that we can't look at it that mm-hmm. way now. But, yeah, I think that's interesting.
Yep.
Yeah, it's hard to think about this podcast in a positive frame of mind.
I disagree with that wildly, but
we'll look back on it one of these days and say, yeah, those were good days.
We'll look back and go, it was all right.
The kids are burning the studio and burning all our the evidence that we ever did this.
It's all jokes, guys. It's all jokes.
I can't believe they said these things.
There's a little bit of truth. I think Nate's trying to tell us.
I think they were. This is the exact moment where they were all losing their mind.
I just branching off what Sean was saying.
I just can't wait till, like, since my kids really.
I'm sorry, I just woke up. What happened?
Since my kids couldn't care less about our podcast,
right?
Maybe my grandkids can latch onto it, and I can tell them stories about it.
I do that from time to time at work. Be up there, like, in front of everybody. We have a morning huddle with everybody on the job site. Mm-hmm. So you grab the mic, and I've had the pleasure of doing the majority of them. There's some days where I'm just so tired, and I get back over to my guys. I'm like, what'd I say? Does it sound all right? I don't remember anything.
Gibberish came out of my mouth. Yeah, no, I know.
No, you're good. You're good. Okay.
I do that after meetings, too. I'm like, I don't know. I feel
They'll
like
probably
I'm completely
say that regardless
spent.
If it was good or not.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
It was
a great meeting.
Yeah, it was great, Nate. It was good.
Move on.
It's good enough, yeah. All right. Yes, we love you guys, so do what you need to do to get healthy. Sean and Nate.
Yes.
Any shout outs, Sean?
I do.
I have a shout out.
I have a special shout out for Ella, my youngest, our 10-year-old, fourth grader, right? She gave me this and said, do you want to take this to the podcast? And I'm going to keep this here, of course, but she wanted all of us to have this. And I read this and I said, this is the sweetest thing. She wrote this for Halloween. And it's her own scary.
Oh, she didn't write it for us. She wrote it for Halloween.
She
whatever, Ella.
In school. Exactly right. Forget this, right? No. She wrote this story and she said that she thought you guys would like this.
Okay. So
I'm going to read this real quick, but this is her spooky story for Halloween. So Ella Lehman, this house is just for you. In the downstairs, there is a basement with a secret door, and if you are in it, you will never come out, hee hee hee, with screaming and blood dripping off the wall. I thought Todd would enjoy that very much. In the upstairs, there is a broom in the closet, and if you get it, it moves, and there is a piano, and it plays songs whenever to creep you out. There are rooms that have a picture of a girl, and it moves when you sleep. In the backyard, there is a graveyard with dead people, and the grass moves. There are trees that move. There is a car that turns on and drives around when it wants to. There's a zombie watching the dead people. In the attic, there's a book that flips pages, and there's a guitar, I thought Nate would like this, that plays, and you can see the strings move. This is why you should buy this house, because you have zombies, ghosts, dead people, and they can help you. And she even drew a picture of this haunted house.
That's pretty impressive.
So this,
I like that. That's a really good. That's
this
really good.
Is our future podcast studio, just so you know.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Very haunted zombies.
I like the color. Purple and orange.
I will be keeping this in the studio. So.
I didn't like it.
Sweet, yeah. You didn't like that?
I loved it.
Everybody's a critic, right? is her haunted story.
I thought it was terrible.
Boo. I didn't like it.
Sounded like a 9-year-old wrote that.
Right. Pretty close.
Like a fourth grader. Gee.
She did a fantastic job.
I'm really impressed.
She was very proud of that.
She should be. Tell Ella. We love it. Yeah.
I told her. I said, you will be my shout out this week. And so.
Kind of outdid my dad joke. That's right. Whatever. Went hard, right? That is sweet.
She said she's been on bigger podcasts, though, just for the record.
Probably. Jerry's and
Jerry's.
Jim Harold.
Jim Harold, exactly.
Oh, that was good. Yeah, that's a good shout. Do you have any other, though, Sean?
I do not.
Okay.
How could I top that?
No, you can't. You can't. Nate?
I am going to blow your guys' mind, but I have another one.
Hold on. What is that? Three or four in a row?
Who's counting?
Well, I am.
I'm counting.
But go ahead. What's your...
today, December 6th, is my wife, Rachel... birthday.
Oh.
44 so, years young.
Happy
right?
birthday.
Yay. Happy birthday, Rachel.
Love her very much.
How old is she?
We love you. Yes.
Women do not like
they
to know.
44.
People don't know what. Yeah.
What's my age? It's very young.
She's 44.
No, she's 44.
Quite oh, wow. young. She's going to kill us. For
no, she doesn't look a day over 45. No, she. No, I would have get. No, I would have not guessed mm-hmm. she was even 40. I knew she was over 45.
So now she's officially a year older than me again, so she is now my old lady.
Old lady. Uh-huh.
She's your cougar.
So I always tease Amy. I'll say, hey, old lady. She's like, I'm not your old lady. Or I'll say, help me up. Help your old man up. She's like, you're not my old man. I'm like, I want... When do we get to the point? She's like, never. You're never going to be my old man. I said, but what am I going to be when you're actually your old man? She's like, I'm not calling you my old man. She hates it. She hates when people call each other old man or old lady. It's like, come on, old lady. I'm not your old lady.
Yeah. You just be a paycheck.
Walking paycheck.
Exactly. Happy birthday, Rachel. That's awesome.
That's right.
44. Man, such a cute age.
Mm-hmm.
It's cute. I have socks and underwear older than that. I'm 8 years old. Yeah, so I have two shout-outs. Kind of already gave one out. First one is my son's birthday, 13. Man, again, pray for me. And this one, this is a sweet lady, sweet young lady. She was a fantastic server at the Texas Roadhouse in Avon. Her name's Allie. So I told her, I know it's going to, it's not usually like me, I told her about my podcast, or our podcast, but I told her that I was a co-host.
Do you have a card?
That's right. I did. I only have one card left in my wallet, too. I said, Allie, do you like podcasts? She's like, yeah, I listen to a few. And I said, do you like the paranormal, the creepy? She goes, oh, I love it. I said, well, I so happen to co-host a podcast. And I said, my buddy Sean and Nate, I said, we're in Plainfield. We do a podcast called Middle Age Creeped Out. Gave her a card. She was so excited. And I said, told her a little bit about it. And I said, everything is on the back, how to follow us. You know, on social media and this and that. And I told her, I said, I give shout outs, you know, from random people, and, you know, restaurants and whatever. I said, I will give you a shout out when we record Wednesday. I said, now we are a week ahead, so it won't be until the 13th that'll drop. She's like, oh my gosh, she was so excited. So, mm-hmm. And I was excited that she was excited.
Fantastic.
And it was just an exciting time.
It's a lot of excitement right there.
It was a lot of excitement. So I promised her, I said, I haven't missed one yet. Allie. Shout out to you. Thank you. She was awesome, by the
way.
Awesome server.
Good.
Awesome server. And she said, excuse me, she said she had a rough day. She had a really bad, like a large party that was very nasty to her.
Ooh, that's not
and
good.
So she thanked us for being nice and, mm-hmm. and you know, being nice customers and all that. So I said, well, that's who we are, you know. Mm-hmm. And I said, did I tell you I do a podcast?
That's right.
Yeah, so I, and she said, she's like, do you guys come in a lot? We're like, yeah, every few months, every couple months, you mm-hmm. know. And she goes, well, and I think she had just recently started at Texas Roadhouse. And she goes, well, she's like.
Requester.
Huh? Yeah.
Requester.
Yeah. And she goes, well, when you come in, she's like, I'll look for you. And she's like, and I'll tell you all about your podcast. She's like, because I'll listen to it.
Oh,
like, okay.
Very cool.
I said, well,
sweet.
We already know it's awesome. Allie, to be honest with you. But you
we're big deals.
Yeah. No, that was very sweet. She was very nice.
We're pickles. And,
yeah, we're something. So shout out to Allie.
Thank you,
at the
Avon, thank you for putting up with
Texas
Todd,
Roadhouse.
By the way.
Yeah. Okay, that's pretty much what it is. Yeah. other than that, that's all the shout outs I have.
Okay.
There is no special announcements. Again, Sean,
yes.
It is your turn to tell our wonderful, lovely creepies.
Yes.
What's this episode about?
We just had an amazing, outstanding, just.
You can't find the adjectives.
I am truly at a loss for words. We have a guest chat with the podfather of paranormal podcasting, the one and only Jim Harold. Enjoy, creepies.
Hey, creepies. We have a special, special guest for you on this episode. He is what we would call the godfather or podfather of paranormal podcasting. His name is Jim Harold. He is the host of the Paranormal Podcast and Jim Harold's Campfire. Jim, how are you, sir?
I'm good. Thank you guys for having me on the show. I appreciate it very much, and happy holidays to you, and always glad to talk about spooky stuff.
Always, always. Thank you very much. Yeah. I'll let Nate and Sean tell you hi again here.
Hi, Jim. It's nice to meet you, and happy holidays to you, too.
Hello.
Happy holidays. Yes.
Yep. Hello. Nice to meet you, Jim. Looking forward to this.
Nice to meet you.
And happy holidays.
So let's get into it. Let's get right into it. Jim, do you can you tell like us and the listeners how you a little bit about your background, and then we'll get into kind of how you got into the paranormal field and podcasting.
Yeah, actually, I had gone to school for broadcasting in the 90s and got out and wanted to, you know, do TV, probably more TV than anything. And I ended up working at a radio station, ended up in sales, and I never thought I would get my dream of being in front of the mic or in front of the camera. And then in 2005, I heard about this thing called podcasting. I'm like, well, I'll just do this for fun. I won't do it as a job or anything. And we'll see what happens. And obviously, it was like the very early days of podcasting. There were hardly any paranormal shows out there. I think there might have been a couple at the time. But I started the Paranormal Podcast in 2005, just thinking it would be kind of a hobby to get back in broadcasting. Plus, I've always loved the paranormal, going back to when I was a kid watching Unsolved Mysteries, In Search Of, some great family stories and some supernatural happenings that always kind of got me interested and hooked on the topic. And strangely enough, it kind of caught on. And I went full-time in 2012. I've been full-time since. And I am proud to say that the Paranormal Podcast, as best I can tell, is the longest-running podcast on the Internet for the subject of the paranormal, which I think is pretty neat.
That is pretty neat.
Congratulations.
Yeah, that's cool. That's so that's what, 11 years, going on 12 years. That's, yeah, we've only been doing ours 2.5 years, and so we're amazed that we've made it this far. So I can't imagine, going 11, 12 years. That's awesome.
Yeah, but I mean, the thing is that there are huge hit podcasts that start, and, you know, I think there's room for everybody. And that's, it's like there's even a thing called the Infinite Dial, where they talk about, they do a study called the Infinite Dial. And that's the nice thing about this, as opposed to when I used to be in radio on the business side. And so I wasn't doing the broadcasting stuff, but we were always in total competition against the other stations, because there were only a handful of stations in each market. With this, I mean, there might be a little bit of competition, but we can be friendly competitors, and there's plenty of room for everybody, because everybody has a little different take and a little different spin. So I think there's plenty of room for everybody, and I applaud all the newer podcasts and wish them all the best.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, we're having a blast, and I told the guys, I said, as long as we're having fun, that's the main thing, and then, you know, the downloads will come, which they have, and just from the first year to our second year, we grew like 400%. And we were just blown away.
Yeah, that's excellent.
Yeah, and it's just like, wow. And so, you know, but we've learned so much. And you know, kind of like you, we all three grew up watching horror movies and the shows you had mentioned and all that. And so, but since doing the podcast, we've learned so much about the specific, like not just ghosts, but cryptids and, you know, black-eyed children and all the different specific entities or creatures and all of that, and the history that goes along with maybe a haunted castle in England or wherever. It's so cool to, as we do our research and talk about it, we learn a lot, not just sit here and talk about it, but we actually learn something, you know. So that's always nice as we get older.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I've found it to be such an education, and, you know, it's kind of cool to be able to interview people who maybe you grew up watching. I mean, for example, and this was not that long ago, maybe like a year and a half ago, I was watching like Pluto TV or one of those free channels have the Unsolved Mysteries channel. So I started watching an old Unsolved Mysteries, and it was Stan Gordon from Pennsylvania, who has done a lot of work on Bigfoot and UFOs and the appearances of Bigfoot and the UFOs together. And anyway, they were doing a story on Kecksburg, and this was probably back in the late 80s, early 90s, this episode was from. And Stan Gordon was on the episode. And then I'm from Ohio. I'm from the Cleveland, Ohio area. I went down to Canton, Ohio to be at something called Monster Fest last year, or earlier this year. I think it was May. It's going to be in June next year. But anyway, who would I have a table next to? Stan Gordon.
Oh, wow.
The same
that's awesome.
Guy I saw Unsolved Mysteries. And it's like, cool, I just saw you on TV yesterday, the other day, but you were 30 years younger, but it was pretty awesome. So to be able, for me, and especially having started in 05, I got to talk to a lot of the pioneers, unfortunately, and many of them have passed. But it's wild when you get to talk to these people who you've read their stuff, you're familiar with their work, and it's like you're actually getting to talk to them. It's just so cool.
Absolutely. Well, that's how we feel with having you on our show.
That is absolutely right.
Well, thank you.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
I was telling my wife before I headed over here, and I was telling her, and I said, I was like, you know, Jim Harrell, I said, he's, you know, huge in the paranormal podcasting and just the paranormal, you know, genre itself, you know. And I was, so she could tell, you could tell I was excited. And I was like, yeah, I need to get going. I was running late, obviously, when I messaged you. But I was like, yeah, we're going to talk to Jim. And I just couldn't believe that we're going to have you, just knowing that, you know, how long you've had your shows and you are well known in the paranormal. So that's how we feel having you on our little show. So that's
well, thank you. That's very, very kind of you.
Yeah. So you're in the Cleveland area, you said, and we're just west of downtown Indianapolis. So we're not that far from you. So we're all Midwesterners.
Not skipping the jump.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll be over shortly, is what he said.
That's right, yeah.
I'll put a pot of coffee on for you.
Yeah, right.
Jim, I've been telling everybody today that will listen about having you on, and it is, like Todd's saying, it is an absolute honor. And there are, like you're saying, it is such a small community. I mean, it feels like a big community, but it's amazing who all the people we have met so far, and it is heartwarming. But our out there, and I know you said some of them are gone, like Leonard Nimoy is one of mine. I love to listen to him. And,
oh, that would have been great to get to meet him. Oh,
that would have been, I loved it.
And I'm a pretty big fan. I mean, I'm not as deep as some people are, but I love the original series of Star Trek. But actually, for me, it was In Search Of.
Yes.
I mean, that was
I love that show.
Along with some of the stories from my family, I was a real little kid. I want you to know I was very, very young. In Search Of was on, I used to watch it, I think, in Cleveland, because it was a syndicated show, so it was a little different time every market, but I think it was 7 o'clock on Sunday nights, and I never missed 7 o'clock Sunday nights, WEWS, Channel 5, Cleveland, and watching Leonard Nimoy try to find out the mysteries. Now, the funny thing about that is, at the end of that show, you know, it would be like, of course, this is only one explanation for the mysteries that we, you know, we search out, and whatever it was. And I would get frustrated because I want an answer. And the funny thing is, guys, when I started in 2005, I thought, I'll do this stuff for 6 months. I'll have it all figured out.
Right.
I will get that answer.
That's right.
I still don't have that answer.
Well, if you don't have the answers, then there's no hope for us, because you've been doing a lot longer than us.
I hate to tell you. I mean, I think the only thing I've learned in 18 years of paranormal podcasting is that the world, I really believe, is stranger than we give it credit for. Now, what it ultimately all is explained by, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But I really think that we walk around in our daily lives and we think, you know, a glass of water is a glass of water, and every, you know, any object you see, it is what it appears to be, and everything's very, you know, time is linear and all these things. And I think it's all like a construct, and I think we don't understand how weird reality really is.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, particularly when you look at stuff like Skinwalker Ranch, and you look at some of the trickster stuff, and some of the time slips we've explored on the shows. Things are weird. We live in a weird world, and it's not easily explained. Not as easily as some people would think.
Absolutely, yeah.
Jim, you say that, and I've always been a Y guy, too. I'm the same way. I love watching all those shows, and I love the other guy that we always talk about is Dan Aykroyd, and he's got a new show coming about Supernatural.
Yeah.
I cannot wait to see that. But you're talking about how we don't know what we don't know, and I think about Einstein. Even Einstein, with all his big thoughts and all his, you know, trying to figure out stuff, even to his day of his death, he, you know, didn't have it all figured out. And, you know, Max Planck, and with all the, you know, the intricacies of science and the way they started looking at it, it was mind-boggling to him. So I think, man, if Einstein couldn't figure it out, and he still had questions, like it just like you and I sitting here, like, we were never going to figure this out. But that's the fun of it. You know, it's fun because you're always going to be questioning and wondering and learning. So that's it. And experiencing it through other people's stories. And
I always find myself daydreaming about, and I'll bring it, wrap it into the season, for a mental picture, the Grinch, you know, the opening scenes, the one with Jim Carrey, the newest one. Well, I don't think it's the newest one, but the live action one, where Whoville is in a snowflake.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah, you know? So it's like, okay, so you see snow falling in real life. It's like, well, what kind of life is on that snowflake?
Entire worlds,
we don't know.
Nope.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, you know, they talk about possibly our existence is a simulation. That's a possibility. That's one possibility that's out there. And to me, I think that's really interesting because if you think that, okay, let's say we live in a simulation. Well, that means that we have a programmer, right? Uh-huh. Well, really, if you believe in God, what is God but the grand programmer of everything, right?
Right, right. Absolutely, I agree.
So, I mean, really, when you start thinking about these big thoughts, you can really kind of freak yourself out because
yeah.
it's kind of like it's like, man, that's heavy, dude, you know, kind of stuff. Because it really quickly kind of goes in that direction, and it is heavy, and it's very cool, but there's a lot going on we do not understand. I'm convinced of that one.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. Well, the interesting thing with quantum physics, they actually get to the part of and the point of using the word spooky. You know, this is like spooky science.
Yeah, spooky action at a distance.
And,
yeah.
And now all we got to do is watch the headlines, you know, with aliens and the quantum physics and quantum computing and the, you know, AI is on its every single day. There's mm-hmm. something like, hey, we got to watch out for this. And who knows what's in the sky and under the sea. And it's just amazing how many different pages we're turning and trying to look into. It feels like all at once. But it's scary times, but it's exciting times too.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, you know, we're seeing a lot with UFOs now. It's one of those things where, you know, I think there's people, you know, I hate to get conspiratorial, but I do believe there's people in the government and maybe some of the defense contractors are trying to keep a lid on this. But honestly, I think the truth will slowly out. I don't think it's going to be a big, you know, I don't think the aliens are going to land on the White House lawn, but I do feel like that we're getting closer. Over the last few years, we've gotten closer to some answers on that question. And interesting times for sure, interesting times.
Yep, that's a great way to say it.
I work in a hospital. I'm an occupational therapist, and I met a gentleman who's having surgery. And our talk is about, you know, preparing him for surgery. But he was telling me that his family involvement in the armed forces and special forces. Mm-hmm. And he talked to me about how he had family that worked at Wright-Patterson. And I had to I told him, I said, with all this alien talk, did they ever see an alien? I did not think he would say, yeah, they did. And he said, my uncle actually went into, they said, anything above me is complete top secret. And he said that he got to see actual frozen aliens. And he said, oh yeah, it's been a thing that they have been keeping under wraps. And he said, they're not going to be able to keep that under wraps much longer. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, you can look in the news and see that. So, but yeah, they're like, oh yeah, it's definitely all throughout several levels of government and, you know, what we've known for a long time, but it's not going to be able to be kept a secret much.
Yeah.
Longer.
I heard an interview with a CIA intelligence whistleblower that was highly involved in all the doings of alien government, alien stuff, mm-hmm. and gathering information. There's a lot of stuff that he can't talk about due to his, you know, security of the nation and that kind of stuff. But he was very adamant that he said 100% there are aliens.
Wow. That's crazy. It's just crazy. Yeah. 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 It's crazy, but it's not.
I think that there was a time. And again, who knows how people will react, but I think there was a time where you could make a case that, yeah, we probably shouldn't tell people. But I think now we've been exposed to the idea long enough that I really believe that people could handle it if it were put out in the right way. Mm-hmm. I just think it's people who, you know, just feel like they control everything and you have no right to know. And, you know, it's kind of like, we know we're the ones who should determine who knows, and shut up, citizen. It's none of your business.
Right.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. That's what I kind of feel like.
No, I think you nailed it. That's exactly what
they
think.
Total BS, in other words.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. No, and it is. And it's too bad that they think that, like, yeah. you know, that they want to hold it so tight to themselves and they won't let the, like I said, the citizens in on it. And I think we can handle it. I mean, not everybody, obviously, but I think most people in these days and times can. I would. I mean, I'd just be like, okay, yep, that's exactly what we thought. And
moving on.
I think Hollywood and movies have gotten everybody pretty prepared for whatever happens.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it would be, you know, it would be a shock, but I think people could could deal with it. Now, there's one theory out there. I talked to Nick Pope, who has been, you know, he's been on Ancient Aliens many times. Mm. And he said one possible, there are different explanations of why people would want to cover this up in the government. And one of the theories is that the truth is too awful. He's not saying this. He says one of the theories that the truth is so awful that they don't want to tell people. One of the things could be the idea that maybe the aliens created us.
Right.
Yeah.
Which would be a frightening thought. But
I'm not buying that.
But again, those big, big questions. And it really is interesting to think about it. It's interesting to think about it.
Yeah. Coming off of that, like all of the different things that go into the paranormal field, aliens, cryptids, ghosts, and all that. When you got into this, like I said, growing up, I watched the movies with my dad, the monster movies, and then, you know, and you get the slasher movies and all of that. But as far as like, I did not know, I mean, probably less than half of what we've learned doing, or at least for me doing the podcast, I didn't know anything about black-eyed kids. I had never heard of skinwalkers. I never knew anything about Wendigos. What were some of the things that you learned, like that you did not have any idea that was out there for these number of years? What was a few things that you learned as far as when you got into
That's a really good question. And probably my most popular show is Jim Harold's Campfire. And I one thing I didn't know was shadow people.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know much about that. And the idea that you see something that looks like a void, like, you know, darker than dark, that is cut out of the universe, that people see those. The Hat Man, now that's one I think that term has actually been coined over the last 10, 20 years. Mm-hmm. The Hat Man I didn't know much about. You know, people reporting seeing this and really being in a situation where they're like, what is this figure with a hat? You know? Mm-hmm. So, and then the other one is one that actually really I don't think came to the fore, you know, when I was first studying this, but the Mandela effect is interesting.
Oh, yeah, it is.
I don't know if that's paranormal, but it's something. And then the one that I kind of knew about, but I didn't know so many people experienced it, was doppelgangers.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
So many people, I mean, we get a lot of calls about doppelgangers. And it's like, you know, my house was highly haunted. The one night I thought my husband was home. He even yelled up the stairs, "Hey, babe." And then I found out he wasn't home and it was his voice. Or one of my favorites from the early days of Campfire. That's my Jim Harold's Campfire is where people come on and tell their spooky stories. And I recommend that show if anybody ever wants to listen to my stuff. Jim Harold's Campfire is kind of the, I guess it's a bad phrase, but gateway drug. This is
yes.
The show I think people really
I love it.
Towards.
Oh, yeah. I love it.
But it's because people come on and tell their true stories. But anyway, one from the early days was this young girl. I mean, I think when she came on the show, she was in her 20s, but this happened when she was in high school. And she lived in a trailer, right? And I guess the bus, wherever they were situated, the bus would drop her off right by her house. So the one day her mom's sitting there and she walks in, curses her mom up a blue streak, goes down the hallway, slams her door. And then not 5 minutes later, her mom looks out the window and the school bus is there. She's coming out of the school bus. She comes in the door and she says, "Hey, mom, how you doing?" She said, "What do you mean what are you doing? 5 minutes ago, you were here cursing me out." And the girl's like, no.
Wow. Gosh.
Wow. She went to the room. There was nobody there. I mean, just, and then one of my favorites, because this gets into not only doppelganger, but kind of time slip. There was a story where the guy that called in, he must have been in his 20s and 30s, but he told this story from when he was a kid. He's about 6 years old, and he's walking through the hallway of her childhood home, his childhood home, and it goes by the kitchen. And in the kitchen, there's this hooded figure, and he looks like he's making a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. And the little boy's like, "Who's that hooded? Who's this guy? Am I?" And he runs away real fast. So anyway, forward to about 10 years later, This guy's about, I don't know, 16 years old. He's minding his own business. He's in the kitchen. He's wearing his hoodie. He's making himself a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Oh.
And he looks out of the corner of his eye, a little boy figure, like, runs up and runs away.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
What is that?
That is insane.
What is that?
Wow.
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, we've heard of, like, the time slip stories. That one's...
That is wild.
That's wild.
Probably the craziest one I've heard. That is, what is that? It's like a couple things going on there. Interesting.
Yeah, it's a doppelganger slash time slip slash, you know, I don't know what.
Sort of like Interstellar.
Yeah.
Oh, that gets wild, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
It's multidimensional stuff. It makes your head hurt.
Yeah, who's seeing, like... Yeah, they always say sometimes maybe we're the ghost. You know, maybe we're
like
the
others.
Yeah. Oh, I love that movie, by the way. Yeah, right. Exactly. The others. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Who is actually who's haunting who, right?
Mm-hmm.
The things you mentioned, like I said, I don't think I knew. Yeah, shadow figures is another thing I didn't know anything about, or I hadn't even heard of shadow figures. So that's the cool thing about doing the podcast is we learn all these new crazy spooky stuff, you know, and then we learn more about it. And then, like I said, the history that goes along with it, maybe it's so fascinating and interesting. And you know, we've been asked before, I think individually and on the show, like people go, well, aren't you afraid you're going to run out of material? No, no, there's no chance of that. There's so much out there. Yeah.
No.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't. Yeah. There's no chance of that. I think we could go for years and years and years and still have something to talk about.
I'm always impressed with how many places are built on top of Indian burial grounds.
Oh, yeah. That's kind of our running joke. We're like, let me guess, Indian burial ground. Because it's just, what do you make of that, Jim? What do you think? Because there's so many places.
Well, I think when it comes to, you know, places where Native Americans lived, I mean, I think it's within the possibility. I think it's almost, it seems to me, to be honest with you, sometimes it's a fallback. It's like, if folks can't figure out what it is, they say, it must be Native American burial ground. But to me, I think it is possible in some cases, just as I think that it's possible, you know, there have been abandoned. We have one story from a guy who was like an engineer, and he would go in to look for remains, like if they were going to build something. He went in, they were going to build this highway, and they found like, I don't know, 20 or 30 unmarked graves. And he had all these weird supernatural things start happening to him. He got this call from, forget how it worked. I don't know if it was a phone that wasn't plugged in or something weird about his phone, or it was in a dream. And it's like this misty voice comes over the line, stop digging the graves. The point being, I think any land that is subject to some kind of tragedy or something like that, and let's face it, you know, I love our country, but basically the whole country was stolen from the Native Americans. So if you think about it, any area where there would be Native Americans, there's by definition, there's tragedy there because of how they were mistreated.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I think that's possible, but I think sometimes it's just like, you can't think of something else that must have been Native American burial ground.
Right.
We always joke that, like, what haunted the Native Americans then? You know, like, what was before them? Or over in Europe when there weren't the Americans, was, like, the Druids and the Celts, you know, like.
Well, I always feel bad. I'm like, they always get a bad rap. I'm like, no, not the poor Indian burial grounds. Dang on it.
I mean, I think it is possible sometimes, just like I would think it would be, you know, burial places for Europeans or any other group of people. I don't think it's necessarily anything just specifically with Native American burial grounds. Now, I will say this. I mean, you guys being in Indiana, me being in Ohio has some fascinating, and I don't know, maybe Indiana does too, some fascinating burial grounds and mounds. There's one in southern Ohio called Serpent Mount, and you have to actually go up at an elevation to see it. And it's shaped like a snake with an egg on the head.
Mm-hmm.
Serpent Mount. Mound. And there's other ones. Very fascinating kind of burial grounds that were by Native Americans very, very far back in history. Got to actually do a documentary on that when I was in college, of all things. and just a fascinating area of the country. Highly recommend visiting it if you're interested in ancient mysteries, which I'm also interested in.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, I think we have Mound State Park near Anderson. Mm-hmm. Indiana.
Right. Yeah, we mm-hmm. had done a, mm-hmm. I think we did a mini episode on that. Or
we talked about giants, because that leads into a lot of giants. And have you had a lot, very many stories about like giants?
We have had that, and it's just interesting. Somebody I was following on, I follow on Facebook. His name is, I want to make sure I get it right. He's in West Virginia, and I just met him at Monster Fest in Canton, Ohio. And his name is Les Odell. Okay. And he had just posted, I'm going to find this if I can find it here. He posted where there had been, yeah, this is from, and this is credit to Les Odell. He posted an article, "Giant Skeleton Found in Friendly, West Virginia," from the Martinsburg Statesman Democrat, December 11th, 1908. And again, this is from Les Odell. Hmm. And here's a snippet. I just saw this yesterday, so I wanted to share it with you. That basically some children were playing and they found some skeletons, and they were unearthed, some professors. And it said the skeletons ranged in height from 7 feet, 6 inches down to 6 feet, 7 inches. The skulls found are of peculiar formation. The forehead is low and slopes back gradually, while the back part of the head is very prominent, much more than the skulls of people living at the present day. The legs are exceedingly long, and the bones are unusually large.
Hmm.
So there is a theory that, you know, some of these giants have been found over the years, and mainstream archaeology does not look well upon it, so thus that's hidden from us. Whether you believe that or not, but that appears to be, I mean, again, I don't have the original article, but I've met Les and talked to Les. He seems like a very, what's the word I'm looking for, very genuine, sincere guy. And there's this image of this newspaper article. It looks 100% real. And I know this is not the only report of this, that giant skeleton bones have been found in the past. But then you don't hear anything about it. And it does make it, and I hate to get conspiratorial again, but there are people who, in almost any kind of scientific walk of life, they have a particular theory. And it's kind of like, well, don't confuse me with the facts. I have my mind made up.
Don't rock the boat, so, right? I get it.
Yep.
So, do I think it's possible? Or, okay, if there were giants, what were they? Were they aliens? Were they, you know, versions of Bigfoot? The possibilities boggle the mind.
Well, I know one of the first things we talked about, and I forget what episode it was, but we talked about underground civilizations and the mm-hmm. fact that there potentially could still be people underground or aliens or giants. And Malta was a big thing.
Whole thing. Mm-hmm. That when they talk about the TikTok video, right? The UFO going underwater.
Yep.
Maybe they're not, you know, they talk about when the David Grush thing came up about UFOs, it's non-human intelligence. But did they say where non-human intelligence is from? Maybe it's not from here. Maybe it's from under the earth. Maybe it's from under the ocean.
True.
There's so much we don't know. I'm sorry to interrupt. Go ahead.
Oh, you're not. No, not at all. There's a interesting, and I know with social media, you just never know exactly what's real and what's not. But there was some within the last couple of weeks, they've been showing videos of people catching what they call giant doors that are in the sides of mountains. Mm-hmm. And people have seen this and they take video of it, whether it's faked or not. It's really hard to tell. But it looks like these doors that are like ridiculously large being closed or something going in it. And then this big doorway. And it's like, what is that? You know, and again, like, is it staged? Is it fixed? Is it, you know, fake news all over the place. Mm-hmm. But it begs the question, like, what the heck was that and where did it go and what does it lead to, you know?
There's a place out in Washington that is supposedly to have some type of mountain system that people have said that they see spacecraft or some type of unidentified coming in and out of. And yeah, and they've questioned, they've asked the local government and they're just, you know, oh, it's basically dismissing, you know, and just coming up with whatever story that they can get out of answering the actual question. So it's crazy. It's just interesting. Very interesting.
It is. That's why I'm saying there's, and it's, it goes back to your comment, you're never going to run out of material. You're never going to run out of material because really questions, and, you know, I used to think, oh man, wouldn't it be cool to find the answers? And to be honest with you, I don't think we're ever going to get the answers, but boy, it's fun asking the questions. We haven't even gotten to my favorite subject, which is the afterlife. We might not all see a ghost. We might not all see a UFO. We might not all see a Bigfoot, but we're all going to have to walk that path eventually, hopefully many, many years from now. And whether you, like me, believe we live on after that, or you're a skeptic and think when you're dead, and you take the great dirt nap and it's all over. Either way, we're all going to have to find out one way or the other. When there was an old country music song by Hank Williams Sr., and it went like, no matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive. Mm-hmm. And true words were never spoken. We're all going to pass over, whether it's 5, 10, 50 years from now, 100 years from now, yeah. if they get some mm-hmm. really good drugs. But the point being, we're all going to have to do that. So to me, that and, of course, the existence of a creator, which I also believe in, those are the big questions. Those are the biggest questions. Now, maybe some of this other stuff like ghosts, obviously, maybe even aliens. Maybe it plays into all of that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think the question, even people who think they know and have firm beliefs in what happens, you know, when it's 2:30 in the morning and you can't sleep and you're wondering about, hey, you know, when that day comes, what happens? I think everybody wonders that, even if they're firm in their beliefs, everybody has a moment of doubt.
Right.
Whether it's the skeptic who says nothing happens, 2:30 in the morning, he might be saying, well, you know, what if something does happen? You know, and then, you know, person who believes, hey, I'm going, you know, I know where I'm going, I know what's happening, but they have their time to doubt too. And I don't think that makes them a bad person or anything, but I think it's just human nature. So to me, that's the ultimate question.
Well, death and taxes, right? That's pretty much the two guarantees.
Yeah, that's the other certain thing. I don't think we'll ever solve taxes.
No, gosh. That's kind of bringing the show
down. That's all.
We got to solve government first.
That's kind of that's kind of a downer to think about taxes. I'd rather think about death than taxes.
Yeah, I think so.
Jim, it's interesting. You're talking about death, and it's the age old question. And I have some interest. I mean, I could talk for hours about this because it is something that I think once you become I'm not sure you ever become comfortable with the idea of death. But when you don't fear death, you don't fear much else, you know, in this life. And my grandma, right. I was very close to my grandmother, and so I had when she passed away, she succumbed to dementia and things like that. And it was interesting because I watched her go through the stages and phases of death. She would have epiphanies, you know, even in her demented state about God, and she would see people coming in and out, including my grandfather who'd been gone for 20 years. And I would feel her and I'd have dreams about her. And I actually had this experience that I can't explain. It was kind of an out of body experience, which I've had some of those. And she and I were in, it's like, I couldn't be there with her. She couldn't be here with me. So we were kind of in between, and it was like being inside and outside at the same time. I don't know how to explain that, but it was like this atrium that was just beautiful. And the lighting was perfect. And I saw her, but her lips were not moving. And so she would kind of come through me in a spiritual sense. And when she'd come through me, I would hear her voice and she would explain to me, but it was this like mound of information all at once. So it's like having conversations for hours, but just in a split second. And it was one, I woke up just with tears in my eyes. Like it was just her way of saying, hey, I'm okay. And I've had a couple other experiences where I've had dreams about where she's just kind of looking at me and I'm rushing around in the doldrums of life and things don't quite make sense in the timeline. And then I realize, oh, you're no longer here. So I'll just grab her and hug her. And it's like, it's just that there's that connection still. And then I had an experience earlier this year, February 22nd, I went down and had a syncopal collapse. So I fainted and it ended up being an underlying heart condition that I have gotten treatment for and had diagnosed and everything. So I'm doing okay. But I had my 15-year-old son had to do a CPR on me. And but I had the near-death experience wrapped in white light, feeling the presence of loved ones around me. And I felt like I went somewhere where it wasn't my time kind of feeling, but I was in some kind of limbo. And then coming back to the earth or to life, whatever. I was in a coma for several hours and just out of it and in the hospital, you know, kind of until I came back to, they thought I was going to be on the vent and I wasn't coming back. And then I did. And so they, but I remember just this beautiful experience. And then coming back was really heavy and hard and painful. And when I came to finally and out of the coma, my son said, he knows I love music and I love to listen to the Beatles are my favorite. And Todd, don't make any explanations or exclamations of it, or grunts or groans. But he said, Dad, do you want to hear some Beatles? And I was like, I do. And I was still kind of in this like groggy state. And I told him, play Across the Universe. And he said, okay. And so he started playing. He's like, Dad, why do you want to hear that? And I said, because that's where I was at. And he said, and I don't remember, I don't exactly remember having that conversation. I just kind of remember being in and out of, but he's like, they just all started crying because the doctors are like, we don't know where he went, why he came back, but here he is. And because they told me I basically backed up to the to a cliff, did a like triple Lindy, you know, off the cliff. And then I was back and I asked them what happened and they said, we don't know, but we're glad you're back, you know, kind of thing. So it was a wild ride for sure. And I like to think that like I'm this, you know, I've got this positive story and everything's great, you know, but it's been a rough year, I'll be honest with you. And, you know, a lot of people, I actually have a thing that says sometimes, you know, you don't always pull, you're not always going to pull this great positive message out of an experience. Sometimes you're just going to say this weird thing happened to me and it altered my life forever, you know? I'm still trying to kind of figure out all the lessons from it and everything, but it was, but people have come to me and said, hey, that's absolute, you know, that's God proof right there. That's a God thing. Which I feel is true. Other people have said, well, that was your brain chemistry and it was just you feeling comfortable. And maybe maybe that's true, but it's just one of those things where it was like, it was real to me and it was something that I was involved in. I do joke about like having that walk on the beach with Jesus, you know, which did not happen. I had to tell people this was just a total made up like joke for me. But I tell him like I'm walking on the beach with Jesus, and he's like, "Hey, look, it's not your time yet. You're going back. You know, I the only bad thing is that you're gonna have to deal with your wife, and her name's Jenna. And I don't know how you're going to, you know, she's going to basically kill you, you know, kind of thing. And I created her and I'm scared of her. So good luck, you know, kind of.
Yeah, she's all yours.
Well, what I will say is, you said, oh, people say, oh, it's just a brain chemical thing just to make you feel good. It's like dopamine or whatever, these things to kind of ease you into the dying process. And I say kind of BS, and I'll explain why. You know, what I get, and I know, I think it's Dr. Sam Parnia in Europe, I think, has done work on this, these near-death experiences where people report what happens after death or when they flatline, they have NDEs. And they can describe in great detail what happens in the operating room while they're supposedly dead. Or while they're being worked on, they can say, you know, well, this happened to me. And how could they do that if it was just a brain chemical thing? How could they see what the surgeons are doing or the doctors are doing and explain it in great detail? I'll give you another example. I interviewed back in 2021, I interviewed a gentleman by the name of Dr. Bruce Grayson. He wrote a book called After. It's called After a Doctor Explores What Near-Death Experiences Reveal About Life and Beyond. And he told this story where there was a young girl, teenager, and I think it was an overdose or something like that. And she had had this situation where she had a near-death experience and so forth. And he had been in the cafeteria for the hospital eating. He was young. He was a young doctor at the time. And he was in a rush and he had some spaghetti and he got spaghetti sauce stain on his tie. All of a sudden he's called away to deal with this young girl. So he goes and he deals with her. She's out the whole time. And I believe part of the time she actually flatlined. She was never conscious at any point during their interaction.
Oh, wow.
The next day, she had come back and she was doing well. He went to see her and she said, "What happened to your spaghetti stain?"
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah. And I highly recommend that particular doctor, Dr. Bruce Grayson. the book again is called After. Okay. And I've also interviewed Dr. Raymond Moody, who he did invent the term near-death experience. Interviewed him two or three times. And I just believe there's really something to this with the near-death experiences. I do believe it's indicative that we do go on. I totally 110% believe it.
Sure. Mm-hmm. I do too, yeah. They even made that movie not too long ago, a few years ago, the little boy that I guess had died or whatever. And
James Leininger?
You know the movie I'm talking about? Is that what it was? Yeah, talking about he described heaven. He described all this specific details and then they made they made a movie about it. It's like it just that gives me goosebumps to even think about, you know, that yeah. It's just crazy.
I was getting that confused. Yeah. James Leininger was the little boy who and this is remarkable too, because I've never like quite got the reincarnation thing, but I've always been fascinated by it. But that's the story, and I've not interviewed him or his family or anything, and I'm certain by now he's got to be an adult. But he was a little boy who kept talking about being in a plane wreck and being in World War II. And then it turns out he met these veterans he was talking about, and he knew stuff about them. Like, hey, Fred, how are you doing? You got old, and just all this crazy stuff that he couldn't have possibly known. I mean, how do you explain that? Now, it could be reincarnation. It could be somehow we all have like a universal consciousness, and somehow the little boy internalized that and picked it up and was like channeling this person. I mean, who knows? But it just, again, it gets back to my first early point. Don't know the answers. I know we're living in a world that's far stranger than we can understand.
Yep.
I had with my near-death experience, I had a friend of mine who I used to work with. She reached out to me and told me that she had a near-death experience surviving cancer. And she said there are others of us, especially in the medical field, that have not only seen these things, but also been part of, like had our own. And she said she's trying to get together. Her name is Mary Sherman. She is trying to get together a support group for near-death experience survivors. And there's just not a lot of them out there. And so she and I take comfort in each other, because it's not a lot of people understand what that feels like, or it does. It makes you feel kind of crazy. And, you know, and there's a form of depression that comes along with it too, because it's very light and beautiful there. And it's like coming back here, it's like, this is heavy, you know, life is a lot simpler than what we make it. And so, you know, I think if we, you know, people, not that I'm saying not everybody needs to go out there and experience a little piece of heaven, but it is nice. And if you could just be like, come on, guys, let's just quit with all this craziness and enjoy what life is really about, you know, the love and the laughter and enjoying each other and sharing each other, being part of each other's stories. You know, that's what I feel like we're all here to complete each other's stories and help each other to, you know, that's what we're all about. So like you're talking about with your campfire stories, that's why I love a good story, and especially ones that, you know, just really impact you on a deep emotional level, and gives you what we're talking about, the things that give you chills and really make you question. It is not just the spice of life, but it's the soul of living, you know, and that's what enlivens me.
Yeah, when I started the campfire, I thought, oh, this will be a nice little thing because just, you know, it's fun to tell those stories. But then, you know, it kind of turned into more, and it's not the only show of its type, obviously, and, you know, Coast to Coast AM's been doing Ghost to Ghost for years before there was podcasting. But the point is that, at least my little show, it's been a place, people have emailed me, hey, I had X experience and I didn't think anybody ever had it, but then I heard four or five people come on your show and they had the same experience, and that's made me feel so much better about the situation. And to me, that's very gratifying to know that in some small way, you know, the people listening to the show, they get something from it other than just a fun thrill, which is, you know, that's part of it too. It has an entertainment value. But it also goes deeper than that, I think. And I think that's why it's my most successful show, I think. One quick note about the NDEs and the medical field. This week will be, as we record this on December 7th, we'll release a campfire with some amazing stories from a hospice nurse who saw some very, very interesting things and dealt with some great tragedy in his life. Also, you were talking about the medical professionals. It reminded me, and I looked it up as you were talking, We did an interview probably 2016, 2017 with Dr. Scott Kolbaba, and he came out with a book called Physicians Untold Stories, Miraculous Experiences Doctors Are Hesitant to Share with Their Patients or Anyone. Mm-hmm. And it was basically, and I think every doctor maybe but one put their name in the book, which takes a lot of guts. And they would tell, like, these miracle stories of people who shouldn't have been cured, but they just spontaneously were cured.
Yeah.
Or people that had the after-death experience, or just, like, miraculous things they've seen. And, again, I'm never one of those persons that says, you know, don't take your medication, hope for a miracle. I say, take your medication and hope for a miracle.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
And hope for a miracle.
Right.
In other words, do both.
There is a thing called reckless faith, you know. So
that's right.
I mean, yeah. You know. Yeah. No, I think you do both, and I think you know God helps those who help themselves. I mean, I think the two things. I think the power of prayer and medicine can work together.
That's right.
But what I'm saying is that you know, sometimes things happen that just can't be explained.
Yep.
And that book does a good job of getting those stories across.
That's yeah, cool. Speaking to that, my my uncle, one of my uncles, he came down with renal cancer, and they didn't catch it early, so it broke off. And he was a healthy guy, you know, run X amount of miles every day, whatever, you know, X Air Force. And so a piece of the cancer broke off and lodged into his lungs, went through his heart and lodged in his lungs. When they got him to the hospital, the doctors were like, well, he's a miracle to survive that, because there's hardly anybody that ever survives that episode. So then now he has had cancer in his lungs, started treatments and that kind of stuff, and prayers and whatnots. And you know, they do a chest scan, and the cancer was there. And then X amount of months later, you know, during the process, they did another chest scan, and everything was gone. And he's alive today. I mean, this happened 10, 15 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that doesn't happen much.
Yeah.
Spontaneous healing.
Yeah.
Yeah. How would so, you? Yeah.
It happens.
It
truly happens.
Yeah, it does happen.
That's a crazy story.
Mm-hmm.
Jim, I know we're kind of winding down. I want my man Nate here to ask you your opinion on another paranormal thing here. And then there's a story that I know you've told on your podcast I'm going to ask about. I think it was something with your uncle maybe, or...
Oh, yeah. I'll be glad to tell that one.
So, have you...
With most guest chats, I always... come to the topic of what are your thoughts on Bigfoot?
Mm-hmm. It depends on the day you ask me.
So what is today's opinion?
Good answer.
Well, I got to be honest with you. If I were a gas gauge, I would be 3/4 full for believership on most of these things. Like, I don't think I am what you would call a true believer. In other words, I don't think everything is a ghost. I don't think everything is an alien. I don't think everything is a cryptid. I think sometimes, you know, a leaky faucet and bad electricity is a leaky faucet and bad electricity.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, you know, ghosts, I'm all in. I believe it happens. Afterlife, I'm all in. UFOs, I believe there is something out there, definitely. And I think there are beings, and I think they visited here. You know, if somebody says I've had tea with aliens every third Thursday of the month, I'm maybe a little skeptical, but in general, I lean towards belief. Bigfoot is tougher for me, because I always go back to the old, why haven't they found remains? I know some people say they have found remains. It's been covered up, but why haven't somebody come up and say, okay, I've got the DNA material of a Bigfoot. And I know the usual explanations, you know, they take care of their own, they're intelligent, they go off to die, you don't find a deer carcass in the middle of the woods, you know, all the reasons why you don't find it. So that's the negative, Jim. But the other side is that I believe there are people of very good will people who know a hell of a lot more about the outdoors and wilderness and nature than I do, who swear up and down they've seen them. And much like my campfire story, who am I to say that they're lying?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I think it's possible. Probably, if you ask me today, I would say 60% yes, 40% no. Some days I'm more skeptical. Some days I'm more optimistic. That's one that I go back and forth on. I really do.
Yeah.
Well, there's doing the podcast and talking to different individuals about Bigfoot topic, and there are a lot of theories on the Bigfoot also as like a trans-dimensional being slipping in and out. And
that would explain a lot. I mean, that would explain not finding a body. If it can pop in and it can pop out, you wouldn't get a body. You wouldn't get hair samples. You wouldn't get things like that. So that would perfectly explain it.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's always an interesting talk.
Yeah, because that's kind of how I am, Jim. We've talked about it, and I'm like,
I like the gas gauge.
That's actually a perfect way to say it, because I'm the same way. I'm like, man, you know what? I think I'm 70-30, 80-20, and then some days I'm like, there's no way there's a Bigfoot out there. You know, I'm kind of the same way. It just depends on the day, I guess, but it's possible.
But I'm interested in the topic, and I'm very interested, mm-hmm. especially in experiencers, because at least in my experience, and maybe, you know, some people say, oh, Jim, you're gullible. But I believe the vast majority of people who come on Campfire, and this is across the board, but also for the Bigfoot stuff, because we need to get some of that. I think they're being very, sincere, and they believe that they've seen something supernatural. And I think sometimes they have. Now, cryptids, technically, if they're animals, they're not really supernatural.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And they're just natural stuff we don't have a grip on. And I do believe that there are people in the archaeological community and the anthropological community and the biological communities that want to keep wraps on things. I remember when I was doing that documentary on the Southern Ohio Mounds, and it was with a local university, which I won't name, but I was talking to the head of anthropology there. I think it was anthropology or archaeology, Monday. And we were talking about those Southern Ohio burial mounds. And I said, you know, I asked him about the concept. At that point, ancient aliens didn't exist, but Eric Von Däniken had his Chariot of the Gods book, of course, in the late 60s. Mm-hmm. And then ancient astronauts is what they used to call them. Mm-hmm. And I asked him about that, and he looked like I did something in his soup. So there really is a bias against things that go against the status quo.
Yes.
So I also believe there's a possibility, like we were talking about the giants. Do I think it's totally possible some of that evidence has been covered up? Absolutely. So again, with like so many of these questions, it's not like, yeah, for sure. I mean, the afterlife thing, I'll say for sure. I believe that. I believe that the evidence points to that. I believe there is an afterlife. Absolutely. I'm probably 95% for that. But, you know, some of these other ones, it's like, hey, it could be this, it could be that. Who knows? Who knows?
What if some of the giants are Sasquatch?
Oh, well, that's true.
Yeah, I mentioned that. I think that's a good potential explanation.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, we have no idea what Bigfoot is. None of us know what's going on.
At
with
least
that.
I don't.
Yeah, I have no idea. Yeah, Nate's our Bigfoot guy, and I always want him to ask, you know, an opinion, you know, of our guests. So
we have a friend of ours who is a best-selling author, Betsy Kolakowski. Yeah. She loves Bigfoot, and she is determined to figure it out. And it's a main staple in her story.
She's all in.
Mm-hmm.
She is all in on Bigfoot. That's her guy. She says.
Yeah, that's right.
I think my trip started with Harry and the Hendersons.
That's right.
Oh yeah,
Harry and there you go.
My daughter, when she was about four or five years old, she'd have us watch that thing every night, and she called him Monkey Henderson. She didn't know his name was. We're like, his name's Harry, and she'd say, I want to watch Monkey Henderson. All right, we'll watch Monkey Henderson. So that's our Harry. Yeah. So before, like I said, we'll wrap this up in a few minutes. Please tell your personal story. I think it's the one, like I said, with your uncle in the casino or something. I'm drawing a blank on what that story was. Yeah.
Well, this is just, you know, it's not a people say, do you have any paranormal stories? And certainly my dad has a couple of great ones. I've never had the typical ghost or UFO sighting, but I tend to have weird synchronicities happen to me. And the skeptics might say this is a coincidence, and maybe it was, but it was a hell of a coincidence. So anyway, back in, gosh, I can't believe it's been this long. I think it was 2017. I was basically hired. I got a free cruise out of the deal to do a paranormal cruise with a few other people, Rosemary Ellen Guiley. May she rest in peace. She was a great author. Mm-hmm. She was on my show 20 times. If you haven't read her books and you're interested in ghosts and that kind of thing, Rosemary Ellen Guiley, look her up. Great books, still available. Get them. And a great person to boot. She was on the cruise. Micah Hanks, who is a big UFO guy, and now he's the editor-in-chief of The Debrief. And we had done a podcast together. Great guy. And he was on the cruise and some other people. So anyway, the one day, we had one day at sea where we were doing, like, presentations. And they had a little nice little conference room in this cruise ship where we did our presentations on different paranormal subjects. So anyway, I had one, and my turn was coming up, and I had a bit of a cold, unfortunately, and I thought, you know what, there's a break now, I'm going to run to the cafe, and I'm going to get some coffee to kind of warm up the pipes. So I go out, and I see this crane game, and it's like where there's cash, you have to walk through the casino. Right outside the door is a casino, right? So you have to walk through the casino to go get the stuff. And there's this crane game where the, like, the little crane comes down, and instead of like you see at the drugstores or Walmart or those places where you get those little stuffed dolls, it was money. And one of our guys was playing it, one of the attendees, who I kind of befriended a little bit. And it really struck me because my uncle loved those crane games when he would go to stores and stuff. And my uncle had passed in 2013, and he was like a second dad to me. And I said, gosh, I wish he were here. He would love this because he was the kind of guy that liked to play the lotto. He liked to play the football pool at work. This is before gambling was legal. So, I mean, you know, football gambling and stuff. But he would, you know, put $20 in the football pool or whatever. Like low-stakes gambling, nothing big. But anyway, he loved that, and he loved that damn crane game. He used to play it all the time. He put like $10 in just to get that. I'm going to get that thing, then he'd give it to some kid. You know, he just loved to play it. I said, man, I wish he were here. This would be so cool because he'd be playing his crane game for money. He would love this. All of a sudden, this woman walks up next to the guy playing it. She cups her hand to her mouth, and she goes, John, John. And her husband or whoever it was comes over. And you'll never guess the name of my uncle, John.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, I love that story.
And, okay, so a couple things had to happen for this weird thing to happen. First of all, I had to go out of the room. Second of all, the guy needed to decide to play the crane game. Also, there had to be a crane game there. Then this woman had to be there and have lost track of her husband or significant other, who was John. And the timing all had to line up for that to happen in the middle of the ocean.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah.
Now, again, could it be a coincidence? Yes. What I like to think about it is that I believe our loved ones at times can move things, or maybe if God can move things on the chessboard in such a way to give us a sign.
Yep.
And they moved everything in the right place in the chess sign. And basically the message I took from my uncle is, you're thinking of me and you care for me and you miss me and I feel the same way. And that's the way I chose to take it.
I agree with that. That's beautiful. I love that story. When I heard that on your show, I was like, oh man, I never forgot that. So having you on our show, I'm like, he's got to tell that story. I think it's just such a cool story. I do. I think it's great.
I'm reading a book about, it's called Signs, and it is about how the universe talks to us. And it is It's beautiful story after story about like those stories that are seem coincidental. I don't believe in coincidences. I think that things happen for a reason, and that there's so many signs that we see every day. Most of them we filter or ignore, and it's the other side trying to get a hold of it. Veil is very thin. And it is the other side trying to get a hold of us, loved ones, friends, family, whatever, or connecting between each other here in this plane of existence. So, I think those are so cool, though. I love that.
I have a quick story about that. It just happened recently. My wife, Rachel, her grandma just recently passed away. And she was a huge Coldplay fan, constantly listening to Coldplay.
And she was in her 90s.
Yeah.
Which is awesome.
We actually took her to a concert one year to see Coldplay, and Rachel was at the store shopping, and it's Christmas music, as 'tis the season, and what strange reason, the Christmas music stopped after the song, and a Coldplay song came on, which I can't remember the name of it, but my wife said it was a significant song of life and death and memories and that kind of stuff. And then Coldplay song ends and Christmas music comes back on.
That's random. That's weird.
So she told me this, and I told her, that's your grandma. She's talking to you.
That's weird. Yeah. I mean, I don't doubt it. Who knows?
I believe, I'm like you, I believe the signs are everywhere, and sometimes we choose to... I mean, I have another little story like this, and this one isn't quite as remarkable, I don't think, but it was just kind of weird. One day, I'll just quickly tell this. There was this guy who, a podcaster out there, used to always get angry with me because he'd say, Jim Harold's a millionaire podcaster, and he can afford all this equipment, which is funny because if you know me, I'm not a millionaire. So anyway, one day I was shopping at the dollar store to show you what a millionaire I am. But that's actually... I was picking up envelopes for the business. So I was picking up my envelopes, and I saw a woman who was probably at that point, I would say, in her 60s, maybe late 50s, early 60s. And this was like maybe a year or two after my mom died. And she looked just like my mom, but a little bit younger, right? Maybe in that age range. My mom died at 70, unfortunately, relatively young. But this would have been late 50s. She looked just like her hair was the same. Glasses were very similar. Same kind of clothes my mom would wear. Same kind of handbag my mom would have. Her face was slightly different, but they definitely could have passed for sisters. And if I had been at the right age, if I'd been younger and in a store with my mom and saw this woman, I would think from like a side view or a back view that it was her. Mm. That's how close it was. So anyway... We're going up to the cash register, or I'm going up to the cash register. I've got my, millionaire me with my dollar store envelopes. And I'm waiting in line, and lo and behold, I happen to walk up to the line this woman is. And she turns around and looks at me, and she said, could you open this bottle of pop for me? And it wasn't like she was stealing or anything. She was in the line. I'm like, sure. And I'm thinking, you know what? I would like to know how many store lines I've been in my whole life and even since then, and not once has someone said, can you open this bottle of soda for me?
Yeah.
Never.
Right.
But this one woman, it was almost like you're making a point to have some kind of contact with you. Now, I don't think that was my mom, but again, I almost think like it's the puzzle pieces, maybe put someone in place who kind of looks like her to kind of give me a wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Maybe not. That one's not as convincing as the other story, but that one's always stuck with me as well.
Yeah, but it still gave you a situation to remember your mom. Whatever the however it happened, why it happened. So that's a good story. I think if you were a kid, you would have walked right up to her. Hey, mom. Oh, nope. Sorry.
Yeah, that's exactly what I would have done. I mean, if she had her face, now if I saw her face, I would say, wow, you really look a lot like my mom, but you're not my mom. But if she had her face turned, the profile was the same, the hairstyle was the same, body type was the same, everything.
That's cool. Yeah, I say, I don't think all the hundreds and thousands of times I've been in a store line, I don't think I've ever had anybody ask me to open their, their can or pop or whatever. And so for that specific person to have you do that. That's a cool story, Jim. That's awesome.
We
could talk to you for another 3 or 4 hours. I know you probably don't have that much time, unfortunately for us, but so, and I know you've gone over already, so we appreciate that. Before we let you go, tell our listeners how they can follow you, your podcast, social media, any events you might be, you know, coming up for you.
Probably the best place to start if you're a podcast fan is Jim Harold's Campfire. You can find that on all the major podcast outlets, Spotify, YouTube, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, all the apps, Jim Harold's Campfire. And that's really the show. That's 90 minutes every week. That's true stories of the supernatural. It's everything from ghosts to shadow people to UFOs to cryptids, everything. My favorite head scratcher is one that don't fall in any category. That's really the show I think has the broadest appeal. And that's absolutely free for the most recent episodes. And check that out. And also the Paranormal Podcast. If you like interviews, we do interviews every week with some very fascinating people in the world of the paranormal. And again, that's everywhere you get your podcasts. And that's probably where I would start. And also you can check out everything I do at jimharold.com. That's JimHarold.com.
Jim, it was a pleasure. I can't believe we had you on our show. We're like little kids over here.
That's so. Right.
Oh, yeah.
That's very nice of you.
No, seriously, nice. Yeah.
You guys have a great holiday season, and I appreciate it, and great to spend some time with you and your great audience and everybody out there. Happy holidays.
Same to you, Jim.
Thank you, brother.
So there you go, Creepies, Mr. Jim Harold, fantastic guy, fantastic podcaster.
That was fun.
Very gracious. With
yes.
His time. Yes, it was fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can't believe we got him on the show, and you know, as big as he is, but he's very genuine and humble.
He is humble, and I feel humbled, honestly, having him on here.
Yeah, he was a great guy. Yeah, we had communicated for a while, and then finally got him scheduled, and... yeah, I was like, okay, please don't have anything happen. Like, where you know, you had this, you know, like,
some of our other ones.
Well, I was just like, oh man,
yeah, we decided not to do a podcast anymore.
Yeah,
I don't think that was going to happen with Jim Harold.
No, I was just like, I mean, you know, if something comes up, that's fine. I was just like, oh, I'm so excited. Yeah. So anyway, Jim Harold, he was great. I hope the Creepies enjoyed that.
Absolutely.
He does. He has. Well, he told about his two podcasts, but he also has Unpleasant Dreams, where his daughter narrates, and it's, you know, it's 25 minutes or long, I don't know, 30 minutes, if that.
Mm-hmm.
Another great podcast. So check out Unpleasant Dreams. He pretty much is like, it's the like Jim Harold Productions, but it's her podcast because she narrates the story.
Well, he says she's got a drama background.
And she's a great
podcast voice, but he does too. I mean, that's what
can
makes.
Can you imagine doing podcast?
He's got a huge draw.
Years. I'm like, though. I mean, I feel like okay, in 3 more months we can say 3 years, and I'm like, that's pretty decent, you know.
Feels like 18.
I know. again, Nate's trying to tell us
why. That's how long Jen and I have been together. It
feels
since 2005.
Like
23
years.
It feels like a long time.
Man. Well, like they said, you know, like
she would say that too.
New podcast, usually the average, it drops out after 30 or 60 days. And
right.
Here we've made it, you know, but like 18.
Trucking along.
I know. And then he's got as he knows, the longest paranormal podcast. Yeah.
We're like a floater, right? We just can't flush us down. It's a floater. Flush it down.
He went there.
I did.
All right, you two. you know what? There's one of you I can keep, and one of you I really don't need. Nate,
I'm going to get one guess. Yeah, Nate stays, I go. Goodbye. Good night, folks. Good
creepy,
night.
So I apologize for these two. No, it was great having him
We're
on.
We're jazzed.
Yeah, and he was very gracious with his time.
That's right.
Check out his podcast. They're awesome. Jim Harold's Campfire and the Paranormal Podcast.
Thank you, Jim Harold. We appreciate it.
So, coming off of that, Sean, what do you have? I'm going to say, I would normally say, okay.
You're trying to
middle-aged
outfox the fox.
I'm going to say, no, but then I'm thinking, ooh. You know what? He might say.
Oh, he's flip-flopping.
A dark side. No, see, here's what I'm saying. Coming off of this would be a middle-aged moment. But then I'm thinking, no, he's gonna switch it up. Go dark side. But I'm not going to fall for that. Back to the middle-aged moment.
Gosh, you know me too well. See, I'm not that hard to figure out.
See how I do?
I am not that complicated. So
I've been keeping stats. I'm 98%.
You have to be. You've gotten it correct a lot.
What you got?
So this is actually, I'm going to give a late shout out, actually, because this is going, since it's Rachel's birthday, I thought that I would, because we've talked about Coldplay and her grandmother who passed away recently, Rose. I'm going to do Coldplay.
Sweet.
So the nice. Scientists.
I like them.
Yes, I do too. So, come up to meet you, tell you I'm sorry, you don't know how lovely you are. I had to find you, tell you I need you, and tell you I set you apart. Tell me your secrets and ask me your questions. No, let's go back to the start. Running in circles, coming up tails, heads on a science apart. Nobody said it was easy. It's such a shame for us to part. Nobody said it was easy. No one ever said it would be this hard. Oh, take me back to the start. I was just guessing at numbers and figures, pulling the puzzle apart. Questions of science, science and progress. Do not speak as loud as my heart. And tell me you love me. Come back and haunt me. Oh, and I rush, to the start. Running in circles, chasing our tails, coming back as we are. Nobody said it was easy. Oh, it's such a shame for us to part. Nobody said it was easy. No one has ever said it would be so hard. I'm going back to the start. Right. So this is fun because it's also linked. It obviously links with Rachel and, mm-hmm. and her grandmother. Mm-hmm. But it also, like the talk that we just had, goes back to the haunting and, you know, having to part. You know, we're talking about life and death. But this also, this song is actually originates from talking about a breakup, you know, and romantically. Mm-hmm. And I think we can all, you know, kind of understand that or you know, relate to that. So this goes on many levels, but Coldplay's awesome. I mean, they just have good music. It's talented. Hard mm-hmm. not to like them. And I love the lyrics. It's very touching. So I thought this was an appropriate song to put in here. And good job in reading my mind. It's not that hard.
Well,
both thoughts.
I mean, it's, there's, you know,
two thoughts to rub together. That's about it.
I mean, you said it. At least, hey, I wasn't trying to go.
I am in no denial.
No, that was a good choice.
Thank you.
Very, very good honor. Rosemary.
If you hold Sean's head up to your ear, you can hear his thoughts.
Oh, so you can hear the ocean.
I like that about me. It's very simple.
And that makes him Sean.
Kiss. Keep it simple. Silly.
Silly, yeah. All right. Boom, boom. Excellent millage moment. What
Thank
else
you. I've got the second part of the announcements. You can follow us on our social media accounts, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, X, whatever the heck it's called now for Twitter. Email us at makopodcast@gmail.com. We are on all podcast listening apps. Pick your poison there, right? Or your pleasure. Make sure you hit that subscribe button, give us a 5-star rating, and leave a review if the app allows. Tell someone you know or don't know about the podcast, which Todd does all the time, right?
All the time.
We sell all kinds of awesome merch, so go get you some. We offer many types of show sponsorship opportunities for individuals and businesses. It's another way for you to support us, get your name mentioned, and or business promoted. The sponsorship money goes right back into the show for merch giveaways, future on locations, live shows, etc. Please email us, reach out to one of us, or message us on Instagram for more information.
Not a bad.
Not too bad. Not too shabby.
Not too shabby. Not too great. Not too bad.
It's a cut above, right? Maybe.
It's cut above. All right.
Maybe below. Whatever.
Depends. A lop.
I'm out. Goodbye.
Yeah.
Mic drop.
Regardless, thank you, Sean, for that effort. Nate, what help us out here, brother.
Well, I hate for tonight to end. It was fantastic, but sadly, that's a wrap.
Hmm. Not where so I think final. He's gonna. Yeah,
so final.
I know.
It's like, just final. I like it.
He makes fun of us. He cuts the podcast, and then he just like just ends it abruptly. Thank you, Nate. Should I say thank you? Nate?
I think you should say Nate. All thank right. you.
Thank you, Nate.
You're welcome.
A rap.
He's over there with that look. Look at Hey, thanks, Nate, and thank you, Creepies, for listening to episode 144 and our fun guest chat with the Godfather of Paranormal Podcasting, Mr. Jim Harold. So until next time, Nate is your tech engineer. We are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged.
And creeped out.
Keep it creepy.